What's up and welcome to the podcast that keeps the rubber the right way down the entire time. O Canada RC the podcast, brought to you by Reefs RC, maker of quality RC products. Now it's time to flip it over to the boys, making noise, talking toys. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Whoops Wednesday here on O Canada RC, the podcast. And if it's your first time with us, you're very welcome to the podcast. If you've been here before, then you'll know our next guest by his Instagram content. And because he's a return guest on the show, it's that time. We've been doing this long enough that we're getting return guests. It's pretty wild. So I want to welcome Anthony Soltes, whose Instagram tag is What's a Soltes. What's going on, Anthony?
Oh, you know, same old stuff. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, man, for sure. It's great to have you back. We were just talking a bit there off air about, you know, keeping in touch through Instagram, and it's kind of cool. I mean, just having that medium. When I was a kid, that was never an option.
Yeah. I think the closest I had was it Yahoo Sports or Yahoo Arcade, where you could chat with other players and stuff like that. Maybe MySpace.
MySpace. I was gonna say MySpace, and I was thinking about. I don't think I ever had a MySpace account because I don't know, but it was Facebook, and then, you know, you go through those phases. Oh, get off Facebook and social media. And then you get old like me, and you get old like me, and you're like, all right, let's get back on and see what's going on. So,
yeah.
So the last time we talked, man, we're on episode, you are a part of episode 59. So we've done a lot. I think the last time we had you on, I was looking back, I think it was episode 6. And I was really new to this, and I was really thankful that you came on, because I know it was kind of your first time on a podcast too. So
definitely, yep.
Yeah, so I think we've both grown since then, and a little more relaxed. I feel more relaxed anyway, so hopefully you're there too with me.
Yeah, I'm not nearly as nervous.
That's awesome, man. And we've been following each other's shenanigans through RC, and I've been looking at your Kyosho Rampage, which hasn't made too many appearances lately on the feed, but I know you're working on some stuff there. And then lately, I think we kind of rekindled a connection through the SCX-24. You've got a pretty cool little modded out SCX-24 there, man.
Yeah, thanks. It's I think I'm right. One. I don't think I'm going to upgrade it anymore, save for if something breaks, but,
nice. Have it me too. In front of I'm me. Looking at mine too.
Yeah. Well, I didn't, we were talking, off air. You mentioned that you wanted to chat about these cause you got one for you and your son. I figured I'd have mine in front of me in case, you want me to list off any mods or point you in the right direction if you guys, for what you guys want to do. Much like the 10th scale versions, you can do a multitude of different things.
You know what? It's true, man. Sorry to interrupt you. I've been poking around watching a bunch of YouTube videos the last few nights ever since I got it. And really the reason I got it was I was looking for that entry into crawling, and my son has always been kind of like, your other cars go so fast, and he's kind of, thrown by it a bit. He's 8 years old, so I would be too if my dad said, here, you can drive my, $600 two-wheel drive low-seat buggy, right?
Yeah.
Such a good entry, and so I was playing with the idea of it was either the SCX-24 or I was looking at the Red Cat Everest, which is a pretty... is a 110 scale, so it's a big difference in terms of the size of the car. But yeah, I landed on the SCX because of the reasons you said, man. I didn't realize it's kind of, in RC, I would go as far as to say it's got a little bit of a cult following, no? No? Are you there, Anthony?
Oh, it definitely has a cult following.
Yeah, sorry, you're there, man.
I think on I'm still here. Can you hear me? Oh. Okay. I think I'm a part of five or six groups on Facebook just for the X24. And they're all different. Like, a lot of the guys are in all of the groups together, but there are like many different styles and routes in which, like, that guys took to modifying them. Something that I've been seeing on my feed on Insta, not even with the SCX24, just in my search feed,
is
the belly dragger style crawler. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Picklefin RC, I think, has a good one. Nice. They usually use like a power wagon body. You know, there's no bed. They sit really low. Like, they concentrate more on low center of gravity. I'm sure you'll see with the Jeep, as you guys start to drive it, it's a bit top heavy. So what I ended up doing is, I scored some low center of gravity,
nice,
like a battery tray and also an ESC mount off of Shapeways. And then I had to further modify those bits to get it to sit even lower.
Yeah.
So now it's about as low as I could possibly get Like, without,
that's interesting. You should mention the shock.
Drastically, that was one of the mods I saw, which is something I didn't want to do.
But it requires drilling into the chassis to be able to move the shock angle, and that makes me a little nervous with my technical skills.
Yeah. I mean, it's small enough to where if you're off a tiny bit, you know, say you eyeball it, which is typically what I do. it shouldn't make too much of a difference.
Yeah.
But you don't even really have to drill any holes. True. I mean, you could just take a bolt and then just.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, and you're right. Like, just to the left bolt, of
you know
the front,
that threaded
right,
bit right through
mount.
There.
There is actually one or two. The first one's probably the one where you could remount it. And I could see how doing that will drastically, I guess it gives you a little more stiffness in the shock and height too, right?
Yeah.
Flex. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll get more, articulation, but you sacrifice raising the body.
Right.
Therefore raising the center of gravity. So, and I see guys kind of like flaunt, like, oh, look at how much flex I got in this.
Well,
having too much flex is not a good thing. So it's, for these models specifically, like, you probably want to worry more about lowering.
Yeah, because I know, like, with me and my son,
moving
so
the battery and stuff around.
72 hours we've had them.
So
we must have built four different tracks inside and outside, and that for me and for him, it's about the cool thing to watch him is the concentration.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Stand right over it and follow it through, and to get him to slow down and really watch his line or the entry, you know, the entry line of the front tires and the angle. And it's just like I think I said on my last podcast, it's kind of like, it's just problem solving on four wheels. And for him, I think for him, that's the big draw, but he doesn't even realize
it. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But at that age, right?
You don't realize
it's almost that skill where you just kind of go, you sit back and you kind of watch it and smile and go, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, just to see him get into that. So.
Yeah, another thing with these is, you know, getting, if you're going to add weight, try to add it conservatively, because I'm sure you commented on a
the
post
weight,
of mine
yeah.
where I burnt out a motor, and I just wasn't monitoring motor temps at all. Yeah, I didn't buy, I still have the stock axles and all that. A lot of guys will get steel axles but the route that I went is I actually bought golfer's tape and I taped the inside of my beadlock wheels to add a bunch of weight, you know, add more weight to the front than the rear. Well, it's an old school trick where you would just add, you know, lead, you know, ball bearings to your 10 scales, you know, tires and stuff for weight.
It stresses
but if you add too much weight, differential, too much rotating mass, everything. It's just,
that's the amazing part. Like I was watching one.
Yeah, it stresses. Yeah, stresses.
It might have been.
Yep.
Oh, I think A-Main Hobbies does some really cool videos and tutorials and stuff. And yes. Yeah.
And they just came out with like a top 10 mods or something for the SCX-24.
Like, you can go crazy. There are a couple pages that brass, have
RC reviews, another one.
And
too.
Brass, you know, chassis, front and rear diff weights. And it's like, when you start to, like, I was looking at the cost on, I was on Hot Racing just earlier. And I could easily spend, let's see, what's the conversion to American? Oh, you know, $300 on tiny truck weights.
It's bananas. That's where I went with somebody actually in one of the groups mentioned using the golfers.
That's really cool because I'm a golfer. Weight. Yeah, I've seen guys use that before. For that exact idea to add some weight to their clubs as well. Yeah.
That's precisely what it's for. And it definitely did the trick, and I haven't had any problems since I put it in.
Yeah.
But I'm also meticulously watching motor temps, so it's as soon as it starts to get hot, I'm like, nope,
I didn't even think that, like, because I'm also into my carpet racing,
but
this is a big deal, right? Inside, so it's funny. When we first got these, we're like, you know, it's fun, but to your point, you got to be cognizant of it because you were right. I have a friend who lives in Portland, an expat, and him and his son are into it, and he's told me how many motors he's burnt out on this car because they just go and go and go with them, right? They're so much fun.
When I first got it, I used to actually take it out on,
for sure, man,
like the weekly family, you know, hikes. You know, there's like a nature preserve near, you know, in our area. And we go there probably every once a week. And we go down a trail and I would just drive this thing and not even think about it. And then somebody had mentioned, oh, you know, the motor gets really hot.
Sure,
like, I didn't even think of that. Like, I constantly check motor temps on my 10 scale stuff. So I'm like, oh, why didn't I, you know? Funny story. I don't know if I ever, mentioned this to you. What the reason why I got this is I was actually in New Jersey for work training. So I was in a hotel by myself and I didn't really know the area at all. I'm like, I have nothing to do for the next week. And I'm just, you know what? I'm going to look for a hobby shop. And sure enough, there was one on the same main drag as where I was staying, and walked around there for, I don't know, an hour or whatever. And I happened to see this SCX-24. I'm like, oh, I heard about those, but not really into crawling. But, you know, so I left and I went and got dinner and sitting at dinner. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go buy that. And went and bought it. And
Awesome.
I like made a crawler course in my hotel room.
That was the thing with me, right? Yeah, like, and that was I'd like, known ever since guys I'm like, and friends yep, who are into crawling is, and I just,
so.
And I could just never get the switch to go off in my head that I wanted to do it. And then I think what really hit for me was, so you've listened to the podcast, and me and Pablo Guerrero, we go back and forth, and he's big, and he's a fabricator, and he's into crawling big time. And I think just talking to him more and seeing him doing with his kids.
Yep.
Yeah. And when I finally bit the bullet there a few days ago, man, I love it. Like, I just love, I love speed. And I know you like speed too, but it's just a nice break from that. Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
When you don't want to send your basher off a sand dune,
or when you do send it off a sand dune, and now I gotta go find all the pieces in the field. You know? Say, I'm gonna crawl for a bit.
It's
to calm myself down, and then I'll fix it. So, yeah. You know, it's funny with the crawling.
Yeah.
was thinking about the show tonight, and
yeah,
it takes my mind back to the beginning of RC for me too, and that's something else I wanted to pick your brain on. Was it feels vintage in a way, and I think it has to do with the scale part of it mostly, but they're almost, I mean, I don't know your thoughts on this. It almost feels simpler, right, than playing with a, you know, highly tuned race car or truck. Yeah. So crawling in general, and it just really made me think of,
are you talking Kyosho about, like, crawling and Tamiya in general,
and just, back in the day, low seas and just those simpler rigs that, I don't know, like I played with when I was younger. And I don't know. I wanted to get into a little bit about that end of the hobby. Like, you see a lot of brands coming out with more, and not in crawling necessarily, but in vintage stuff. So Associated will come out with the one, I think it's the 128 RC10. They have like the small version, and then Losi's got the mini T's, right, which are a throwback in a, you know, Tamiya never really went away. And Kyosho as well. Right?
Yeah, no, there's still
yeah, like, I mean, is it just me?
It's still just as expensive as it was back then. The appeal is definitely there.
Nostalgia can be a
blessing and a curse, because you have all these memories of all of these like cool kits you wanted as a kid. And then you look at how they were made back then. And then you look at the stuff that they make today and it's not as good, you know, like you're buying nostalgia. You're not buying something that's gonna last a long time, you know? I totally get what you mean.
Yep.
I actually have a, I think it's a Tamiya Mud Blaster. When I was maybe I was 5 or 6, I think my uncle put a Gravedigger body on it and put some monster truck tires on it. And I may have driven it once. I don't even remember. And then it sat in my basement until I dusted it off when I got back into the hobby. And I tried to get it running using an old Traxxas ESC, and it was just, it wasn't working. And I'm like, you know what? This is going to stay on the shelf. Like, I think I took some pictures of it and posted it maybe sometime last year, but it's still down there, and I'm probably never going to get it running again. But that, you know, it was just for me, you know, kind of taking it apart a little bit and you know, it still had the old mechanical speed controller and it was complete junk. Like, it was, everything was corroded and this is getting tossed.
It's funny, right?
How much is this worth on eBay? I've got a TTO1 like,
now, which is an older car model, and I've got it race ready. It's just trying to tune it.
But
I've also got into the Omroad, so I've got an X-Ray, which is a modern touring car. So running the X-Ray, you're like, oh my god, this thing is precision. And I am not the top driver at by any stretch of the imagination at my club, but
I've seen some videos of those. It is crazy. And then, it's like, you can't even keep up with them. Like, how are they keeping track of all this? Like, it's crazy.
In between those two cars really become evident, because it is such a night and day experience. It's almost more difficult to keep the TTO1 on a line than it is the X-Ray. It's just, it's all over the place. Oh, it's very loose. Yeah.
It's loose.
It's true. It's very loose. True.
It's like trying to drive a Traxxas Slash in a straight line.
But there's something about like
it's,
it.
We just run
kind of the brushed motors in them, and in the TTO1, and it's fun, because what that does is, as you know already, it levels the field, and it becomes about the driver, right?
Yeah. skill and not who has the most power.
And so like some guys will think that they're tuning, they're fine tuning,
where everybody's got the same everything. Further,
but at the end of the day, it's about wheeling at that point. Yeah. Oh.
You gotta be careful with that too, because if you get too far into that, you'll actually hurt your.
I wanted to also ask you a little bit about. So
yeah,
I started in this hobby. I would say I was into bashing, right? Take the car out front, and I miss that because I've been into the racing a little bit more. And I'm actually thinking of doing a trade for my stadium truck. I haven't said anything on any of my social about this, but for a low C 8 3.0 buggy, and that a lot of power. I've had a 1/8 scale buggy. I had a Techno EB 48 2.0 for a while, and it just ripped.
That's the most. The reason I kind of want to do this is because
I think I want to dabble into the off-road racing in the summer next year. There's a couple tracks not too far, and the stadium truck I'll miss, but there's not a huge class for it up here, and it's just not my thing. So yeah.
From what I've heard, it's not the popularity is fading here. Same with short course trucks too in racing.
Popular, I think, I think it's an easy thing for guys to get into racing with, because they're kind of sloppy and floppy, and there's a lot of banging. It's not like trying to race, like you said, the 1/8 scale. Yeah, buggy, exactly. Or a 10 scale buggy. My God, like it's so competitive.
Buggy.
Bashing and how we started, I got to ask you what you think is the best bashing brand out there. And I have no brand allegiances, so it could just be even a car. It doesn't even have to be the brand, but in your opinion, from what you've seen, trying not to be biased to your current stable, what do you like? Maybe give me two or three that you like.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I mean, definitely Arma. I mean, it's not even me being biased. It was when I was looking for, you know, because my
awesome.
Arma Senton is the first brand new RC I ever bought. So, I must have did research for maybe 6 months, something like that, and a lot of that was I just. Plane couldn't afford to go out and buy one. I had to like save up, and you know, I was weighing how easy it is to work on, parts availability, what you get out of the box.
Sure.
There were a bunch of different criteria, you know, price. I mean, you could get a two-wheel drive Traxxas Slash for $180 down here. But it doesn't come with a battery I don't even think it comes with a transmitter. I think it's just for the truck. Like it's $180. I found the Arma Senton, you know, and I think they had just come out with the 4x4. And I was like, I think this, you know, and I watched, I think I, it was so funny how like, you know, like commercials are designed to get people to want something. Like I watched one, like driving in the snow ad for that. And I was like, that's it. That's the one I want. Yep. That's it. You know, obsession mode activated. I'm gonna like, that's it, you know? And, because, you know, I was still kind of, you know, new to the stuff. Like I didn't want to pay the extra $100 and get a brushless one. And then I have to buy like a 3S battery. And it was, you know, this one came with a battery. It was ready to run. And when I got it, I had some kind of scale, you know, you're talking about a scale versus bashing and quality of vehicles over the years. You know, I had some scale ideas for it, and you know, I threw some spares in the back, and I had to cut up the body to do it, and strategically using zip ties and stuff, and it worked. But I didn't like it after a while.
Rampage.
And I was like, this isn't a scale vehicle. Yeah. I think I want to find something scale. And then that's when I think it was right after. Yeah, it was like right after I bought the
That Kyosho, sorry, that Kyosho Rampage.
Yeah, right after I bought the armor in. Is I, when I saw the
I honestly Kyosho think it's one Rampage. Of the most. So first of all, I think Kyosho is one of the most underrated brands. I know it's been around for a long time. Like Kyosho and Tamiya were big, I would say, rivals back in the 80s, 90s for quite a while. And I just think, I don't know. I don't know if it's sad is the right word. I think it's sad that it's it's kind of, I know in certain circles, in very, very niche circles, Kyosho is still very popular. But I think that Rampage, man, as in that class of vehicle, is one of the most underestimated vehicles. I've heard so many good things about it, and I wish I'd seen more of them out there. I don't know how it is down there, but and just for the listeners again, just a reminder: I'm in Toronto, and Anthony is in Boston, and I love saying that. So, yeah. So, do you see a lot of them? How do you find the Kyosho Boston brand or Rampages down in around where you are? Is there, you know, a lot of guys, yeah.
Oh, I don't. I'm, as far as I know, actually, that's a lie. Actually, last weekend,
yep. I just started following him because of you, actually.
Handle,
yeah.
Z Chamberlain on Instagram. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, he actually lives a little bit north of me, still in Massachusetts.
Yeah,
We actually got to hang out last weekend. We were supposed to run some RCs. I think you saw maybe a post of mine or something. And
that's right.
Yeah, I got to drive his Baja Ray, which is really awesome. Even though I only got to drive it on 2S, but it was still that is a beast.
Oh, nice.
And he actually has an Outlaw Rampage Pro. So my Rampage is actually started as a base model.
Yeah.
So it didn't have the rear cage with the spare tires. Like I had to order those separately, but the way Kyosho made this platform is you could either buy the Pro, you know, which you have to paint the body and you have to provide electronics, but it has the aluminum shocks and the front and rear sway bars, and you could pick what, you know. I actually had to try and source all those parts, but as soon as I saw the pro, I'm like, I have to have that truck. And you know, the base model down here is about $150, and that's right. It is, you're kind of left wanting with like your, you know, short course truck. Like if you see like a short course truck with a bed and it's like a centimeter deep, like it doesn't look very good. The rear cage is really what opens this thing up, like makes it look really good. I'm actually staring at it right now.
Yeah,
what I've done to that truck is originally what I wanted to do to my Senton, but
sure,
just driving the Senton around like it's not a trophy truck; it's a short course truck. Like it's supposed to be thrashed and jumped around and stuff. And that's, you know, I kind of put that away for a bit. I'm like, I think I'm going to make that brushless at another time, but I'm going to concentrate on this Kyosho for now. But that's, you know, you said you hadn't really seen it on the feed until very recently. That's because I was more focused on my SCX-24. And now that I'm kind of, okay, I think I'm happy with this one. Let's go back to another vehicle have and do some work on it. The rear. Yeah. Well, that's what I try to do. Like I see a lot of guys. I mean, I don't have the financial stability to just constantly buy RCs. Oh, yeah. So, you know, when I do get one, I try to, get it to its fullest potential, or at least to the point where I'm happy with it before I decide to move on.
Even if I did have the wherewithal to just go out and buy tons, I don't find as much enjoyment in that. Right. And the ones that I have, I want to have a vision for them. When I have my low CSTTE and I bought the performance kit right away, I bought the truck. I didn't even run it, and I stripped it down. And it was the joy of doing that and knowing what I was going to work towards, and then racing it. And that whole journey for me was amazing. Now I sold that truck, but that's just how I operate. So if I feel like I've gone as far as I can with the truck, I'll try to flip it maybe and do something new challenge.
If you can find a better home for it,
the desert trucks are the next project.
It's funny.
I follow Whoop Eaters. I don't know if you know the Whoop Eaters handle. Okay, so I got to tell you the story. So every day.
Oh yes, I do. Yep.
I look for them on my feed. Like, there's only, you know, outside of like you guys and my normal kind of circle, and I'll see what's going on with all you guys. I look for them because I just love my 10-second soundbite of a stadium truck flying over a dune and hearing it just go brap, and then I'm good for the day. So, like, I love Whoop Eaters. I got to give them a big shout out because they're like, they just compile some great content, man.
Terra Crews, another good YouTube page to follow. They do Instagram as well, but they showcase a ton of desert trucks and stuff.
Yeah,
pre-runners. That's kind of the direction I'm going with. My Kyosho is like a pre-runner build. You know, chop off the rear fenders. I'm actually gonna try and make a bracket or something so I can actually take them off and put them back on.
Good time for that.
But, you know, maybe I'll do that over the winter. But good time for that. I wanted to go back to
Of course.
24th scale stuff for a second, or small scale, I should say. When I was hanging out with his name is Zachary Z Chamberlain. He doesn't really do the small scale stuff.
Oh wow!
But he happened to have a 35th scale Orlando Hunter. It looks like a Jeep, and he said he couldn't get it running. And he's like, "If you want, you can try and get it running and play with it for a while." And I got it running in probably 20 minutes. But it's pretty legit. Like, it has oil filled shocks, all metal links. Like, it's pretty cool. It's kind of a pain in the butt to put together, though, because there's no the ESC for it is an exposed motherboard. Like, there's no I had to Velcro it to the tray and find a way to fit my receiver in there, and it was just like that's small scale stuff.
So
together.
I just put
and I'm like,
the light bar on the back of mine that it comes with. I have the Chevy SC10 version, with the sort of seafoam green one, and just my big fat sausage fingers trying to put those tiny little screws in. I'm like, okay, I like this, but I don't know.
Tiny little screws,
built to build one up from the ground, or how much of that scale model stuff I'm going to do with it. Yeah, I when I think of those, I think of more like I want to, what appeals to me is the performance of them and getting them, like you said, working on the lowering the center of gravity and getting a good weight to it, like an optimal weight. I think that's the stuff that really appeals to me.
Fine. My biggest boost in performance is putting a stormtrooper behind the wheel. That was my
The first order. My biggest boost in performance, right there. I'll just say that, man. Like, they can fly or drive anything.
Yeah, yeah. Like I.
No, but I saw. Well, I almost got one.
You guys don't have a deadbolt, but it's it's of the vehicles that they have now, the C10 has the best tires. So but if you look at the deadbolt, it's you know, red or green, but like there's like a a bump in the hood. It's there's a word for it. I forgot what it is. Now that portion and then like the interior is actually painted on the outside. So like since I've had this, like paint started to flake off, but, you know, I'm thinking of like just carving in rebel scum into the hood just to kind of complete the Star Wars kind of, you know, even though it looks like a Ford Bronco and that has nothing to do with Star Wars. I don't know. The whole stormtrooper thing was sort of accidental. Like I had a Lego keychain that was broken and I'm like, you know, I don't want to throw this away.
So I'll just switch out the head real quick. And then on a little segue.
That kind of took off.
So my son's into fishing. He's just a fishing nut, which is a whole irony there because my dad was a fisherman, but I never really got into it. But now he loves it. So I'm like, okay, I'll do this for him because I love fishing with him. So we follow a YouTuber called Inda Kayak. Yeah, so it's N-D-Y and then kayak. And this guy is amazingly relaxing. And he just does POV, you know, GoPro videos of him going out. He lives in Minnesota, goes out in his kayak in this beautiful, he lives in a beautiful area, rivers and lakes, and he just, and he fishes. And the one time he went out, he made a jig out of a Chewbacca Lego, and he somehow got the hook into Chewbacca, and he was pulling out like 5-pound bass. It was amazing. So I think Star Wars is just a natural fit anywhere, man. That's
oh, that's my story. Crazy.
Yeah, and talking about like, I wanted to, the other thing I wanted to touch on too was like, we were talking about desert trucks. We were talking about that kind of genre in RC. And the thing for me that I was thinking about the other day is, so being into racing, it's fun. It's expensive. It's time consuming. And if you don't live near a track, it can be frustrating. And the one thing I always wanted to see more of, and I kind of want to get your opinion on this, because I know you're a desert truck guy, and I kind of think about rally cars when I think about this, is rally racing. So I was scouring social media, and I found a bunch of posts around, and I'm talking like Tamiya, like TTO1s that have been, you know, converted into rally cars, or your standard rally cars, like Traxxas has that rally car. Tamiya has a bunch of cars that could go as rally cars. It's big in like the Philippines. It's big in like Europe, right? Yeah. But when you look,
and
they're running exactly after them, right? About.
They have so like the running stages, part. I don't know. And the guys like maybe run I have to work around on my the
cardio yeah, for, yeah. But the whole notion of being able to go out and set up even cones or ropes, and having a course that you can just set up anywhere and enjoy that racing atmosphere. Is really appealing to me. And I don't know if it's just me, but especially where I live and where you live, where it's, you know, we get a mixed bag of weather, right? And for me to go to my nearest track, it's a 30-minute drive. Yeah. It's not that bad. But, you know, we have kids, we have families, and I would rather be able to go out in a field, set up some ropes with 4 or 5 guys and my kids and run some rally races for time. Like that would be so cool.
No, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, especially if the snow is deep enough.
But I just think there'd be such a trench,
and there's your track right there. Yeah,
I'm gonna push this because I think there's something there, right? If we want to expand the hobby and we want to get guys interested, and if you like racing, like you could even set up a simple course that you don't have to run after your car in, and still have that kind of off road, but it's less of a formal off road. We're not talking, you know, hard packed clay tracks that are super well maintained and you're slicking your tires and all that stuff, but just something that's a little more accessible, right? Exactly. You've watched Pablo, he did a monster truck challenge where that was pretty cool actually. It went off really well. If you haven't seen it, check it out, guys. Everybody's listening, RC Amigos, they did this heads up, sort of head to head, 40-second best monster truck freestyle, and then you would vote, right? And it went off.
Yeah, I've been seeing them all afternoon.
But just that whole notion of accessibility and being able to get out there and enjoy stuff. And I think that's great having you on, because you know, I see what you do with your cars, and you get them out to. There was a place where you've been in a few of your posts where there's a lot of sand, and it's kind of cool. And every time I've seen those posts, I go, man, that would be cool. Like if we could just get enough critical mass of people to come out and do that. Like I was talking to MR Custom Painting. I don't know if you follow him, but he's pretty sick. And he, aside from his obvious painting prowess, he's been trying to pull together the kind of on-road car scene where he is. And they use the Traxxas Viterra platform, and it's an on-road car, but we had a really good conversation about that. And he set up tracks, and he's got a gym for the winter. And I wish there was more of that. Like, do you see a lot of that in Boston and in that general area? Have you heard of anything like that going on or no?
You keep saying I'm from Boston. I don't actually live
Old
in Boston.
Salem.
It's just so much easier to for people to associate Boston. Okay. I mean, Well, I'm actually from Salem, but I live in the next town over. So, but people can, you know, around the country or around the world will associate Salem a lot better than Lynn, which is where I live. So when you say I'm in Boston,
that's
I'm
like saying I live in Toronto.
In Boston, it's just so much easier, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. That's you know, Toronto is a Brampton, much easier place from. To associate exactly. with than and, you know a suburb.
So you don't see a lot of that.
Kind
of that grassroots level of like RC clubs. No.
There isn't really a lot of people running around where I am. I mean, actually, it's mostly crawling. If anything, in the reservation that the family and I go to, last month we actually went out for a morning walk and I had my SCX-24 with me. I typically bring it with me when we go anyway, but,
oh, cool.
There was a group of guys running 10th scale trucks and we didn't quite run into them, but I could hear them. And then another guy kind of walked up the trail behind us and was like, hey, are the guys over there? Like, he thought I was with them. And I was like, no, I don't know. my better half, she's like, yeah, go play with them. Go play. I'm like, okay, fine. And I was probably there. I hung out with them for maybe a half an hour, 40 minutes. And they're like, oh, 24 skill. That's pretty brave of you to bring that over here. I'm like, yeah, this is the only one I got. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, don't run. No, they were really nice. Like, they you know, were asking me questions about mine. And you know, dude, you got to get a 10th scale. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of too big for me. Like, I got a bunch of other ones at home. Like, I don't really need another one. Actually am getting a 12th scale trail truck for Christmas. It's a maybe. Chinese brand called Amazon? WPL.
Or Banggood, okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of them off of Banggood. Banggood. It's a
I think I've seen
Toyota FJ40.
I love the FJ. The FJ40 body is beautiful. So
yeah, it's called the W. Yeah. Oh, it is. And
cool.
The example that they have is very scale accurate for what you get. This particular, it's a kit, so I got to put it all together, and supply electronics, which is fine, but,
nice.
It's all metal axles, all metal gears, metal links. The only thing that's really plastic
are
the axle trussels and the body. The body's cool. plastic, but everything else, you know, it even comes with wheel weights.
What's the brand? What's the brand again for people listening?
And for about $100.
WPL. So, all right. Check that out.
WPL. And it's the model is
very easy to remember.
C34KM.
Too funny, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think most to your point, like crawling is letters. As much as I would love, again, like going off on the rally thing and finding that accessible racetrack. I think crawling is that thing right now. I know around us, there's a lot of, if I'm on Facebook, that we have like a lot of crawling groups. There's one Mississauga crawling group. Mississauga is like a big city near Toronto, and it's and guys are on there every weekend. You'll see like Thursday, hey, we're going crawling here. Who's in? And it's just like, that's how guys get together. Okay, I'll meet you there. You know, we're going to Rattlesnake Point at, you know, 9:30 or whatever it is. And I think really that's where I have to go as an enthusiast to get my sense of community. The race thing, I think, is more of a pipe dream, but you never know. It might come around.
Yeah, that's like a southern United States.
Oh, out
west.
California.
That's where that's like really, really popular, and they have tracks all over the place. Yeah, that's up here. There's one track that I know of in Massachusetts.
Yeah. I know,
but
like,
it's way.
I know
out
New York
west,
and New Jersey.
Like almost to New York.
So it's a rooted race scene there, I think, and obviously through the Midwest, like or in the South, like through places like Arizona, obviously Florida, Georgia, all through there, it's really big because they have outdoor tracks because they have the weather that can handle them, right? So, plus the whole, you're in the NASCAR belt. So
yeah, yeah.
You know, race motorsports in general.
Yep. Yeah. Area. Yeah. But that's true.
Listen, man, I really want to thank you for having you on. We've been almost an hour here, which is amazing. I know. Right. And that's the cool thing. Nice. I think that's
doesn't feel like
as
it.
I've done the podcast more, I think having guests on and just having that natural conversation. I remember at first I'd have questions lined up and it felt very kind of robotic, but this is good, man. I really appreciate you coming on.
Robotic. Yeah.
We're definitely going to have you back. So you know that for sure. So let me give you a little plug. So if you haven't checked out What's the Salties on Instagram, check it out. It's WHATSASOLTYS. Okay. You do it. Okay.
SOLTYS. Great. Yeah. No, awesome. I can't even do got me on the spot here. Don't even know how to spell my own name. It's What's
beautiful. And you're on S-O-L-T-Y-S. YouTube as well, right? You do some YouTube stuff.
Yep. I am, but, that's all good. But yeah, I haven't posted in a while. I mean, I try doing longer videos and stuff, and
it's hard, and it just, man.
I don't know. I don't have the time to do the long videos, so I keep them short, and I tend to post them to Insta. But I do have a YouTube. Nice. I also have a Facebook page, cool. Same name. But that's
and the funny thing is we didn't even touch on your illustrations. So this time we'll have you on. We'll get into that again. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
no, but I think that's cool too. I think that's a cool aspect. I think the original reason why I reached out to you is around your illustrative abilities with art and how you've just kind of applied it. Not, I know you don't solely do RC art, but you do a lot of really cool pieces. Actually, they'll plug for you. You'll like this. I don't know if you know who Bradley Farmer is. He was on a number of our podcasts. He does all of the body art for every Horizon product that comes out. Right. So I've had him on the show a number of times.
Really
good guy. And I've been trying to have him on again. And he reached out to me tonight. True story. And I said, hey, man, or actually I reached out to him and I said, hey, man, love to have you on. I want to talk about racing. Cause he's into some racing stuff. And he said, how about tonight at 9? And I said, oh, I've got Anthony on from What's the Salties. I said, have you followed Anthony on Instagram? He's like, he goes, I don't think so, .. And then I waited. And then about 5 minutes later, he's like, oh, yeah, he's got a really cool, what did he say? Really cool artist. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll let him know. So there you go. There's your compliment for the night to end it off, man. But it would be cool to have a bunch of you guys on because I know 4 or 5 pretty unique, prolific, I'll call you, artists that do a lot of RC stuff in different ways. And it'd be so cool to have like a round table just of you guys spitballing about, just RC and design. Cause I think that would be such an interesting topic, but we'll save that for another day.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, man. Well,
yeah.
Definitely a first. I think so too.
Definitely
like,
a first.
No problem, Anthony, right. Man.
Thank you for having me on.
Enjoy down there and keep us posted on that, Christmas gift to yourself. All right, man. Take care. What's going on, guys? Welcome to my favorite segment of the week to say. It's Whoops Wednesday. And before I introduce our guest, if you're wondering as to the origin of the title of that, it's in reference to the whoops that you can sometimes get on an off-road track, those sequence of bumps on a track to make it difficult. And I think that's a nice segue into our guest because I don't think this is going to be bumpy at all. I think it's going to be a smooth episode. I want to welcome Johnny from Notorious JRC to the podcast. What's going on, man?
Hey, Jeff. How you doing, bud?
I'm really good, bro. It's good to have on some more local RC talent, let's say that. It's nice to have another GTA
that's stretching it, Jeff. Okay.
we can do whatever we want on the show, man, so
excellent.
We'll pretend we're talented, how about that?
Sounds good.
So for those of you that don't follow you on Insta, I'm gonna plug you off the top, so it's the Notorious JRC on Instagram, and I'm gonna read your bio. It's Ontario loving the RC lifestyle. And you are an Arma guy, so we got a Creighton EXB, a Notorious 6S, a Typhon 6S, a Typhon 3S, a Granite 3S, and the Red Cat Everest 10. That's a good lineup, buddy.
There's two Typhon 6S now.
Oh, okay. One wasn't enough.
One is for off road. I just got started on the whole speed run part of this hobby. Yes.
Sick. And is that the one we saw on the Officer Friendly's SUV the other day?
That is correct. That's my original Type N 6S. It's been stretched out using a Creighton chassis.
Okay.
So it's now my my dedicated road speed vehicle. Lots of fun, let me tell you.
It's sick looking, buddy. And yeah, you can see that if you haven't been on Johnny's Insta feed, guys, check it out. I'm gonna ask you to tell me that story about, it looked like York Region Police.
Yeah, it is. It's every weekend.
Yeah.
There's a little dead end road not too far north of me here. I live in Markham, so it's just a hair north of where I am. A little industrial area with a beautiful straight dead end road.
Perfect.
And I go there to do my speed runs. It's nice. It's usually wide open on the weekends. And I was just zipping up and down the street. They rolled down the street. They parked at the dead end. They got out. They were watching. And for a while, I actually got a little couple of video clips. I haven't put them up yet, where I drove right up to the police car.
That's awesome.
I walked down. They were, you know, hey, how you doing? I said, listen. He goes, you want to take a picture on the truck? And I said, yeah. He did. I swear. And he goes, you want me to turn on the lights? I said, yeah, that would be great.
That's amazing. So they were probably.
It was actually two cars. There were two SUVs parked side by side talking. Oh, right? Yeah,
that's
good
sick.
Times, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what? That's cool, especially with all the garbage you hear in the news about road racing. Here you are doing something productive and fun, and they stop and they happen to be really good about it, right? Because
absolutely,
that's awesome, man. And yeah, I'm looking at your rig online, man. Yeah, nice and stretched out. What kind of tires are you running on that for speed runs? So they're slicks, obviously.
Actually, no,
they're not.
The sets I got right now, because I haven't gone slicks yet. I don't think I have enough power. I'm not up that far up on the power where I have to get to the slicks, because right now it's using the D-Boots Hoons from the infraction and
nice
from the felony. So was able to get my hands on a few sets of those. And I think the ones on the police car, I can't remember if the wheels were black or white, but I also use, I got some GRP.
Yeah, they're the black
GRP
ones.
Rubbers. Yeah. Yeah, the black ones are the Hoons, and the white ones in some of the other pictures, those are GRP. Again, these are all good recommendations. I'm a big part of the Arma Forum, right?
And yeah, man.
You know, I learn a lot there, and that's where I picked up on getting, because I was running those cheap Amazon tires.
Sure, we all
and,
have, man.
And they, yeah, but they, you know what? Until the car blew a tire and hit me in the ankle.
Oh shoot!
Until that day, I realized that if you're gonna go over 70 miles an hour, you better have the right rubber.
Into that, man, we've all seen those videos of guys like doing speed runs and their buddy standing, you know, on the wrong in the wrong place, and the guy driving's like, you shouldn't stand there, Jim, and Jim's like, whatever, and then he just gets smoked, right? So
I was the guy, though. I was pointing it at my I was Mr. gotta get a good video shot of the car coming at me at full speed, man. And literally 10 feet away, blew a rear tire and just veered off and smacked me. It was good. It was good. It was good for everybody to have a good laugh. Everybody saw the clip. A lot of likes on Instagram on that clip. Let me tell you.
Oh, buddy. You know what? It's funny with the speed run. So like I'm a big off-road guy. I started bashing and now I've fell into racing, and man, it's just a rabbit hole I keep going down. But I recently made a switch in my stable of cars. I made a trade last night. I now have a Losi 8 3.0 that's ready for, it's a little older. It's not the new, it's not the 4.0. It's not the XE, but man, it's nice to have a 1/8 scale back on the bench, buddy.
But I really appreciate, like, I've been watching you now with racing over at Phoenix and even doing some of those runs out on the dirt. I can't remember what the young fellow's name is, last name Schneider.
Nick Schneider, yeah.
Yeah, Nick Schneider there. I saw that you've been out a couple of times, and you know what? I'm not ready to make the jump yet,
Yeah.
But a lot of the guys, a lot of the local guys, I'm sure if you follow on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Lorenzo.
Yep.
Lorenzo RC.
Sure.
Crash Landing RC.
Yeah.
Larry Tokes.
Oh, Tokes.
Larry Tokes. These guys, they're all Gabriel RC. They're really, really getting into the racing scene.
That's awesome.
I haven't made the jump yet.
Yeah, you will.
Thanks.
Here's the thing, like what you said there, and you named off all those guys, and I'm glad you did, because I mean that was the impetus for this episode. I have you on, and it's nice to mention those guys, because to your point, like a guy like Larry Tokes, I've never spoken to him, but I follow him and I love his big air. I love all the stunt stuff that he does.
Yeah.
But I noticed, yeah, he was at Otterville a few times this summer and running his 1/8 scale. I'm not sure if he had I think it was a Typhon that he had out there, but
he's got a Typhon 6S all done up for the track.
Yeah. But it's, you know what? I went out to Barnyard, which is kind of like Strathroy, man. So it's like an hour and a half from me. I'm in Brampton. Right. That experience, I sat under a tent with Nick that day, and he let me pit with him, which was cool. And it was my first off-road race. I did short course truck, four-wheel drive. Man, what a blast. So not even the racing, because the racing, I'll be honest, I was shaking like a leaf in an October wind, buddy. I was so nervous on the stand, but everybody was so cool. You know, guys in the stand, it wasn't like you go up there and some guys talking smack at you. You go up on the stand and guys are like, hey man, just a little tip or this or that, you know, just have fun. And racing aside, that whole scene is just wild. If you get a chance in the summer or whenever you decide the time's right for you, man, and you get a weekend where you can go to like Barnyard or Dork or Otterville, highly recommend just to experience it even once.
You know what though? I will, obviously, because I really, you know, those guys that I mentioned, they really like to hang out a lot. Like we try to get together whenever we can. I mean, there's the guys local, the Toronto local guys, but a couple of them are a little bit further west towards Kitchener Waterloo area, and you know, they keep asking me. The reason I don't go is because I'm a true RC addict.
Yeah.
I know that the minute I see it and try it, I'll be smitten.
You'll want more.
I'll just want more. Like it now that I'm into the speed run. Like if you saw my collection, the Outcast, the Creighton.
Oh yeah.
The Typhon was a buggy. Like I was all Mr. Bash, Mr. Jump, Mr. Flip.
Yeah.
As soon as I got wind of the idea that I could stretch my Typhon and turn that into a speed. Now my other trucks are all just sitting nice and pretty, everything, you know, keep the dust off them, and I'm just focused on this one thing.
Yep.
And like my biggest influence, to be totally honest, Lorenzo.
Yeah.
Lorenzo and I, like we've become really good friends over the last year and a half, and he's a very, very, very good driver. He's an excellent driver. He goes out to Otterville on his first time, and he's doing laps like a pro. And so for him, it's an easy, no, but it's an easy jump, right?
Right, right.
He's, you know, he still likes to bash, but he's sold off a lot of his big bashers.
Yeah.
He's right into it now. Right. And I'm thinking to myself, I'll follow his lead easily. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm just that, like, that's who I am. I see it. I want it. I'm done. I'm ready to go.
But that's then awesome.
How do I explain to my wife
that
there's seven RCs or six RCs in the basement already, buddy, and I start perching? Yeah,
you're preaching to the choir, man. I literally, no word of a lie, not for the podcast, I literally just put up a shelf in our laundry room. So my garage gets real cold in the winter. And that's usually where I ranch in the spring and the summer. And I convinced her to let me bring all the rigs inside. So literally just put up a shelf, but the shelf had to match the other shelf that we use for laundry supplies. So it's like you watch those nature shows and it's like the two birds, the mating dance. Like it's this intricate like process. And So I hear you
want this,
man.
Jeff? If you want this, Jeff, then you better get this, Jeff.
Right.
You want that?
It's so it's but hey man, it's give and take, right? I've been married for 16 years and it's all give and take. So as soon as you figure that out, it's all good, yeah. Man. No, yeah, go ahead.
No, my wife, I mean, she obviously, you know, she understands it. For me, it's all, I've always been an RC guy since I was a teenager. It's like, it's not, I got out of it for a while only because one of my long best RCs that I ever had, an RC tent, an Associated RC tent.
Oh, nice.
I had that well into my 30s. I took it to work one day.
Oh, no.
And just to show it off and then left it behind for the night. And the next day it was gone.
No.
Yeah, the next day it was gone. Yeah. And you want to know something? It was really, that was from when I was a teenager, right? Like from 17, 18 years old. I babied that thing, taking care of it. It was still a brushless motor. Had, wow. You know, a brushed motor.
Was it a gold pan?
Yeah, it was. And it was all decked out, Mugen and stuff back then, and bearings. And like I was heavy into it from a very young age, from my Tamiya Grasshopper to my Tamiya Hornet, then to the RC-10. And when it left, like when it disappeared, I was heartbroken. Kids were coming, you know, young babies in the house.
Sure.
I just found reasons not to do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then you know what? It's amazing when you start going by hobby stores just to browse.
Good luck.
Just to look.
There's no such thing, man. I don't know who told you that.
You know, I thought I had self-control. I did. I really did.
Well, there's a lot of support groups out there. That's kind of one of the reasons I did this podcast is because I'm, man, as much as I did a similar thing, when I started out, me and my dad built a Midnight Pumpkin to Mia, and I had a Traxxas Cat, which was a really old, ready to run. It was really a piece of garbage, but it was my entry into it. And then same thing as you, man, you know, you get married, you get focused on job and house. And then finally you realize I've got a little more time. I got a little more
money
available. Yeah. A little bit,
a little more money,
a little bit. And then, and you get back into it, man. And then I started again with a Rustler. I've had a couple stadium trucks. I've gone the route of Techno EB48 2.0. I went Nitro for a while, but, I've realized quickly that I don't have the patience for Nitro. and then now I'm back here and I'm really just enjoying it, doing this stuff. And it's great to like to talk to guys in the community. Like you said, you and Lorenzo, we've gotten pretty close. You were mentioned in Phoenix too. And it's a big thing for me. Like that track is close to you actually. If you're at Markham, it's the only carpet track within a fair distance to me. Now there's Extreme in Oshawa.
Yeah, heard about them. Yeah,
and there used to be Hot Rods in Hamilton, but
we mean used to be. Me and Lorenzo were talking about that today.
So Hot Rods, the track went under. So
Oh no,
they moved locations last summer. I want to say late last summer, and unfortunately, the new location either, I don't know for sure whether the new location just didn't have the real estate for a track or they just decided the track was too expensive. Cause that's usually why the tracks turn in, right? Because it's too much to pay the lease and you don't get a lot of money back from that space. So it's unfortunate. So yeah, with Phoenix, when they announced this year, they do a 1 week a month off-road carpet. And when I heard that, I almost immediately went out and bought a Low C 22 5.0, the two wheel drive carpet buggy. And I built it because I love like you, I love just tinkering. I love it almost more than driving.
Listen, I find it's one of the nicest way to wind down after the day. You know, I come home, eat dinner, sit down, watch TV with the wife for a little bit. And then I come down, I set it up in my basement. Now I got my little, you know, my kids got the big section of the basement, but I got my little section of the basement and I keep, you know, changing it around a bit to make it more and more, you know, user friendly.
Sure.
I could end up being down here for 3-4 hours at a time and just not even realize that it's, two in the morning, and I'm still working on and tinkering, and I love it. I honestly think this is one of the greatest parts of the hobby, honestly, is that it is still a hobby. Like, everybody, you know, a lot of people think that we're playing with toys, and why are these old guys playing with these toys? And I said, well, listen, it's not a toy. It's a very expensive toy. And if you think you can run it and keep it running for any amount of time without knowing what you're doing, you know, if you got bottomless pockets, you can go to the hobby store
and they can fix it for you. Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's a toy. I go, but
right.
You know, more than half the reason I do this is because I've always been mechanical.
Yeah.
And I just love it coming down and tinkering, you know, like, awesome. It's just, I wish my kids were more into it, but you know what? They're young. They're more tech oriented, but you know, I hear you, so be it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's funny. Well, I saw you got your son into the quarantine too now.
I was going to mention that. So I've been trying for a while just to gently nudge here and there. And, you know, what's funny, what he said to me is we were talking about it one night, and he said, yeah, daddy, your cars go too fast for me. And he said, I said, well, what about crawlers? And I showed him some videos. He's like, that looks like fun. And so we hummed and hard over it for a few months. And then finally we bit the bullet. Like you said the other day, we got a pair of SDX24s and said, let's do this, man. And he loves it now.
Yeah.
You know, there's a day or two in between where he doesn't touch it, but then he'll pick it up again and we'll build some courses and stuff. And that's the thing I like about, so we've been talking about speed, but that's the thing I also like about crawling is I'm just getting into it, but to go outside and build a course with him and to see, you know, and then he's very competitive. He plays hockey too. So he's just wired that way. And I'll be like,
welcome to the club.
I'm like, all right, buddy, we're going to do this for time. So now you go and then you time me and we'll see who's faster, who gets through the course faster. It's good when they get in, and if they don't, like you said, so be it. I like to see, like, I've talked to Dylan Raposo for a few times. He's a racer, an X-ray racer.
Yeah.
He's 11, 12 years old, same age as my daughter. And watching that kid race is impressive. I would love to see more local kids get into it, because as much as we love it, this hobby, I feel like it's always been just holding on, right? It's expensive.
But you know what?
Yeah.
You're right. But I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that the entry level was too high.
Yep.
Traxxas, I'm sorry. Like I had my day with Traxxas as well. My first jumping back into RCs was with a slash LCG VXL.
Yep.
You know, 3S, and I remember that little truck that I bought that day was the same price or more than a Creighton 6S.
Yeah.
But you know, I was just getting back into it. Traxxas was what I saw, and I went into the hobby store and I made it a Christmas present. I said, yeah, this is gonna be my gift to me. And I, you know, there didn't feel like there was enough. First of all, kits were impossible to find.
Yep.
Even if you wanted to get into it for the hobby. And there just wasn't anything decent entry level. Well, but fast forward to 2020 and the brushed scene and the brushed Mega from Arma. And
oh, yeah.
It seems like all the companies now are putting more focus into making something that's, you know, $250-$300, ready to run, still zips around, easy to fix. It feels like they're doing their part more, which I'm hoping will start to draw more people. There's one thing I want to say. I don't know if you I don't know how long you've been following me on Instagram. Can I plug a store? Is that okay?
Of course, man. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Big Boys with Cool Toys.
Yep.
This is probably my I'll call it my main shop, right? I shop a little bit at all the different places all over Toronto, Mississauga, Markham, but Big Boys is the center of my universe when it comes to RC. He invited a bunch of us to come and work for him at the auto show in 2020 in February.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
He put up a big, huge, meshed in area with a bunch of ramps and stuff like that. And he said, you guys come there and I'll give you food and I'll give you, you know, we'll give you some credit at the store or whatever. But the idea was you have to come there all day long and just run your truck. The kids just all those amazing fancy cars all over this, you know, this giant building. But the kids would come there and they just lock down and they'd start at, can I try it? Can I do this? Can I do that? And I said, you know what? That's, you know, I know he's doing it because it's a store and he's trying to promote his business. But at the same time, being there where we were and watching their faces and seeing them, you know, making us do the backflips and stuff, it was incredible.
Yeah. And like a smart, and I don't mind you plugging any of the local hobby stores. Like it's, we got to keep them kicking. It's a smart businessman who realizes that a genuine interest in the growth of his business is what's going to obviously keep him profitable, but to do it in a genuine manner like that and, put the effort and the resources and the money into it. And I remember seeing that. I remember seeing, I think you posted some photos. You guys had a bunch of ramps set up and everything. And it was just like wild, right? Like it would dream come true. If they ever asked me to do that, I would do it within a heartbeat for nothing. Like you wouldn't have to pay me. It would just be fun. Right?
Those are long days.
Yeah.
RCing out in the open is one thing. When you have to go over the same jump.
Yeah.
Time. They were long days, but it honestly, like I said, watching people, I mean, I shouldn't say just kids, adult people, like you could see that. And then they'd walk into the store part there on, they had the booth off to the side and they'd be walking through and people would be walking out with their box and they, you know, got a new arm of granite and posting it on Instagram. So there is, I think there is definitely hope for this hobby.
Nice.
If Instagram is anything, would tell me anything, it's got to be, because
I agree,
you know, I'm meeting so many people, young and old, the Peter RC, Peter,
oh
RC
yeah, I know Bachelor, Peter, shout out right? to Peter,
Peter, yeah, Peter, he's a youngster, I think he's only 15 years old,
yep, but the kid knows a lot, like he's
well, and I think his father was into it, and now he's into it, so there, I think there's definitely going to be
I agree.
A next wave. You know what I mean?
I agree. And I love that. And I like what you said earlier. Another guy I'll give a shout out to is the Traxxas Project. The kid named Raj.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Raj actually just got a job at Big Boys. So now that's he's working there, man. So
dream job.
Right? For a 16-year-old? It's like,
yeah, just take my paycheck. Here, just take it every week. Here. What? Okay, here's your paycheck, Johnny. What?
Yeah. Keep it.
No. I'll take that box.
Yeah. No, I need that. I need that new ESC. No, you keep that paycheck. But what you were saying earlier about back in the day when Traxxas was kind of like that only game in town, right? And they had a lock on it. Now you have entry through Arma, obviously. And I can't wait to get my first Arma. Those things are tough as nails. Like I have no brand allegiance. I just like what I like. And when I see your videos and I see guys throwing those things up in the air 30 feet and they just keep going, man. They just, like, I don't know what their formula is. Maybe we can get into that a bit, but you've got guys like Arma, you've got even like an ECX, which is a Horizon Hobbies brand, but
that's right. No, but they're coming back again. Right. I've seen a couple of, I saw you posted one today of a new,
it was like a monster truck. I forget what it's called off the top of my head, but you know, my son, when he went through it once, he had an ECX amp, was one of his first ones. It was just a little entry level, mini monster truck, like 110 scale, but there are so many more options now, I think, than there were in the, I don't know, when do we want to say that Traxxas golden era was, like late 90s.
I think they went RTR with the brushless was probably early 90s, but by the late 90s I think it was a household name, right?
But that's changed a lot, to your point, now. And I think it's healthy for the hobby. And and I agree. I like your perspective. I think you're right. Social media has made it more popular.
Absolutely.
People laugh at me when I say I'm on Facebook. They're like, isn't that for your mother? Like, isn't that for your mother-in-law? And I'm like, yeah, it is. But you know this. How many RC groups are on Facebook?
Oh, like, I don't even know how many I've
joined.
Like,
tons. Yeah. And there are tons and tons. And so if you park everything else you think about Facebook and you just think about how it's helped RC, then it's good.
Yeah. Right? There's Facebook, YouTube. Yep. YouTube used to be strictly for the comedy guys and the you know, the stunt guys that were doing dumb things.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing that the guys like Rich Duperbash and RC Dude 81 and Thomas Peterson,
CCRC
and Innovation RC and you go through the list of guys who've got tens of thousands of followers now.
Oh,
I mean, I don't want to bring up that one guy from the other side of the pond because I'm not a big fan of his, but like, talk about what Kevin did.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't want to say his full name.
Okay.
I promised that, but like just thinking about what that one guy has done for RC, as love him or hate him. This argument happens on the Arma forum all the time. Love him or hate him, it doesn't matter. Whatever your beef is with the guy, but what he's done for, like, I'm pretty sure it was his videos that got me riled up again to get back into the game. Well, right?
It's interesting you talk about YouTube. Like, whenever I need to know how to lower the ride height on my TT01, so I'm into on road too. So it's TT01. I can find it on YouTube. When I need to know how to set my ESC and program it for whatever track I'm on, I can find it on YouTube. Like guys like Ryan Stiles, who's a TLR guy. He does like high production RC rate, like videos. I don't think I've ever watched videos like that for any other subject that are an hour long. Like I have RC because I just get so you know how it is. You just absorb and absorb.
That's what I'm saying. The hobby's growing. There's no doubt about it. And Jeff, give yourself a little bit of credit here.
Huh.
Look at what you're doing for even just, let's call it O Canada RC. It's RC.
Yeah.
Right. You know. I put this out on the Arma forum, and I've been part of the Arma forum since late 2018 is when I joined when I bought my Notorious, my first RC, right?
Cool.
And I'm a big part of that forum, right?
Yeah.
And I put a little blurb on, you know, last night saying, hey, tomorrow night, if anybody's interested, I'm going to be doing a part of a podcast with this guy, Jeff, and he's, you know, O Canada RC. All of a sudden, all the messages started coming down. Oh, okay, what platform is he on?
Oh, cool.
Right?
That's awesome, man.
So, you know what I mean? You're doing a big part too, and I can really appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm hoping that it becomes one big reason is, and you know, I don't mean to branch off, but there's not a lot of places for us to go.
It's true.
And have fun.
Yeah.
Like you got your tracks for the guys who like to race on the tracks. You got the Ottervilles and the Barn and Phoenix and whatever, but the local bashers, we are, I don't know about you, if how many times you've gone out bashing, but we get frowned upon often.
Oh yeah.
When we enter areas that are considered non-RC.
Buddy, we're the skateboarders of the younger generation, right? Like people, we go into a skate park or we go into even just a park, like a field. Yep. And people just keep their children close to them. Like we're doing something nefarious.
I might as well have brought my Harley.
It's
like the old man with the toy. Oh, stay away from that guy. He's a predator for sure.
It's so true. Like so on this podcast, when I publish it later tonight, our first guest I had on was Anthony Soltes. He's What's a Soltes on Instagram. He's he's out of Salem, Massachusetts, which is close to Boston. And we were talking about this. We're talking about how if you're not into racing hardcore, whether it's inside or out, and you're not a crawler, like where do you go? I would love to see more just bash parks. Like let's have a RC club that has a track, but also a bash section with some ramps. Like you see it in the States a lot with the monster trucks. Like my co-host sometimes, RC Amigos, he just did that monster truck mashup and it was awesome. But some of the places where those guys are running their stunts, that's the kind of place I think we need to just go out and run, right? Whether you want to call it bashing or just speed runs or whatever it is, just to go and a place to gather. So
well, we have a few of these parks. We have BMX parks in Southern Ontario.
Yep.
But they will not allow us to have, like, dedicate a time that says, okay, the RC guys come on this day, and the BMX guys you can have these days. It's frowned upon. They fence them up. They lock us out. We have to, you know, we have to do crazy things to just get inside at times when there's nobody around. I'm not okay. Listen, I'm not going to mention any names of the places that we go.
Nope.
But we've definitely had to do some scaling to get to where we want to go. and we have to be looking over our shoulder.
Yeah. A different kind of crawling. Yeah.
Well, exactly. If you think crawling is difficult, you should see what it's like picking up a 25-pound RC.
Oh God. You got to put backpack straps on it just to, man, those things are massive. And on that, I want to talk about this before, cause we've been going here for like 35 minutes, which is awesome. But I want to ask you about Arma.
I
hope to own an Arma. What is it about Arma that you love, man? Cause obviously you have a love for it.
Okay. Honestly, starting off with the Notorious, I bought it at winter time and I was bashing it at winter time. I was taking it out, jumping snowbanks. It's just ridiculously fun. There's nothing else I can say. Like, it's so much fun. But joining the Arma Forum, and I started learning tips and tricks almost right away. Actually, I think I started learning them before I actually picked it up. The great thing about the Arma platform, let's take the 6S platform, for example. They are hugely interchangeable. Okay, so one of the nice things is that the chassis is shared by many. The differentials are shared by many. The power plants are shared by many. There's a lot that goes that you can flip from one to the other. Yep. So that means that if you own more than one and something breaks on one, well, you can borrow a part from another until you can get a new part. So that's one of the things I've always thought, and it's one of the things I tell people who call me like an Arma fanboy, right? It's like, call me whatever you want. I go, you can like whatever you like. As long as you're out there having fun, do what you want. I chose Arma because of its interchangeability. I have 4 6S Arma rigs that I could literally, take the part off of this one and just snap it into the next one and take part off that one and snap it back. The only thing that changes are shock towers and shocks.
And for anybody pretty thinking about getting into the hobby for the first time,
is
that is not a small thing.
So
the cost of parts on a unique car, and I know I have Losis.
It's not.
Losi, I like them. Like I said, I have no brand loyalty, but there's some things that drive me nuts about them. They use, proprietary sized hex bolts on them. They use these... and you got to order, like, we live in Southern Ontario. We don't live in California. We don't live in SoCal. We can't just go down to, and grab what we need for our cars.
That's right. What's I think Tecno is the same thing. Is it not? I think Tecno has the same, has a similar, I don't call it a problem, but if you want to run Tecno.
That's right.
Product.
That's right.
They're not hard. They're not easy to come by, the parts. So like you said, the nice thing about Arma is I'm never without parts. I have a bank of spare parts that will go on to any one of the vehicles. Like even my Typhon, I'll give you a really good example. my Typhon that I've turned into the speed car, I was able to buy a spool, a center spool with a 34 tooth spur that came out of the Arma Limitless, and it snaps right into my Typhon. So I want to turn my Typhon into a speed car. Hey, just buy one of the Limitless parts. There you go. Fits right in.
Yeah.
Want to put a new spur from the Infraction, even though these buggies don't come these parts, you want to turn it into one?
Yeah.
Straight out of the package, it's, right into the
other
the
thing
car.
For me too is that one of the reasons I'll wrap it up on fall this in is love I love the with styling. This brand. Like, I don't know what it is about with a lot of the truggies and the trucks for the armored stuff. They have a really distinctive body style. Really chunky, really kind of mean looking and aggressive stance. It's one of those things that's in my back of my, I mean, Christmas is coming. So maybe Santa will be good to me. I don't know, buddy. We'll see. Okay. Why?
Make your first one a Creighton. Trust me. Make your first one a Creighton. Because, my first one was the Notorious, which is the short wheelbase. She is a handful to get used to being such a short wheelbase.
Yeah.
The Creighton, I just picked up that Creighton EXP in the summer. I think it was actually one of the first ones in Canada, which was thank you, Big Boys with Cool Toys. Yeah. That Creighton, it's such a treat to drive because it just does everything my Notorious does, but more smoothly. It rips around in the dirt, flips up in the air, takes jumps like a bird. It's just it's incredible. If you're gonna make your first, my
there
one
you go,
piece
guys.
Of advice,
you heard it here first from
Arma,
the local GTA Arma master. That's what I'm calling you, buddy. And so get ready for it on the podcast description when this thing goes live there tonight. Hopefully, Johnny, man, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, man. We could talk, I'm sure, for another hour. I hope you'll come back on again, man.
Oh, Jeff, anytime, my friend, anytime.
What's up, guys? It's Jeff back here to wrap up Whoops Wednesday. And I got to say, I really enjoyed this week's guests. We had Anthony Soltis from What's a Solti from Old Salem, Massachusetts. And then more locally, we had Johnny from the GTA area. And Johnny's handle is NotoriousJRC. And it was funny, despite having two guys from two different parts of North America on the show, the thing that resonated for me was, again, about community. Whether you're out crawling, bashing, just having fun with some friends in RC, a point that Johnny made and that I heard echoed through some of the stuff we talked about with Anthony was we really need more spaces and kind of more tolerance for RC. This is a hobby about engineering, about mechanics, about fun, and it's an ageless hobby. So you get guys and people that are in their teens all the way through to their 60s and 70s still doing this great hobby. So it was refreshing to hear Johnny's perspectives on that and a great passion from a local guy. If you haven't checked him out, do check him out on Instagram. And if you heard the episode and the interview with him, he is a fantastic guy. And Anthony as well. We really need to keep doing this together. We need to keep promoting this hobby, especially in this age of screens and less interaction with people. RC really provides something different and something unique and something that is educational as well as extremely fun. And really, it's limitless in how far you can take it. And limitless seems an appropriate way to end this podcast, seeing as we were talking to Johnny about Arma. Get out there. If you don't have a rig, there's ways to get involved. There's ways to get things that are affordable. If you're not sure, you can reach out to me. I can help direct you to how you might get started in RC. Any one of my guests would do the same. Thanks for joining us for Whoops Wednesday. We look forward to hearing you. Sorry, I hope you look forward to hearing me on the weekend, where we have some very special guests lined up. We're going to be going one-on-one
with our boy Pablo Guerrero. I want to hear how his Monster Jam contest worked out. And you hear it here first. We will have Team Associated driver from New Jersey, Jody Eller, on the podcast. Really excited to have Jody on. She is our second female on the O Canada RC podcast, and I can't wait to hear her perspective on racing. She is a true wrencher and a runner, and we really want to hear what she has to say. So we hope you will join us this weekend. Until then, have a good rest of the week, guys. Keep your trigger pinned and have fun.